Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 68 of Nerd Pride Radio. 68, the year that Emperor Nero, at 31 years of age, committed suicide. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I'm awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right, Nerd Pride Radio smells exactly like pumpkin spice latte. No, of course it doesn't. I'm kidding. Pumpkins, seriously? No, it smells like straight black coffee, baby. The only way to drink it. All right. First up, this is the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list right here on my handy-dandy pocket mod, and I'm holding it up so you can see it. Pocket mod, and then the best stuff gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record, you lucky dog. So let's check out the master list. Guess what? For the first time in a long time, I am flying blind. I have a full list of stuff on my master list on my handy dandy pocket mod, and yet I haven't bothered to write anything down on the actual, because usually I make up my show notes. I pick out the best stuff off the list. I put it in the show notes, organize it so it's in the right order. Because obviously presentation matters, right? I care about you, the listener. And this time I didn't write any of it down. It has been a crazy busy week. So I am going to be playing it straight off the pocket mod, which means you guys are going to have to put up with me, as I pick out each item. I'm going to have to type it up on the thing, because otherwise I'll forget what order I did stuff in. I won't be able to do my show notes, blah, 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 blah. So just be patient with me today, and hopefully I don't miss anything too critical. So first up, updates. I'm fat. God darn it. I put on like 3 pounds in the last week, and I have no excuse. None at all. You know what? Every time, because I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. This time, I was eating like I wanted to hurt myself. What is wrong with me? Why do I do that? Stupid. Look, you guys don't really care that much, but let me just tell you. It's one of those things, if any of you have ever struggled with your weight, it is one of those things where, I could do well on my diet all day long. I start off with something sensible for breakfast. I have my beef and barley soup for lunch. I do great right up until about supper time. And then, especially if I'm the one cooking supper, I snack a little bit and think, oh, a couple chips, you know, a little taste of supper. I'll try some of this. This is not going to hurt me. And then by the time supper comes around, you know, I've kind of prepped myself. I'm starving. I get it. And then I eat a little too much. And then once I eat a little too much, it's like, well, you know what? I probably already screwed it up anyway. I mean, as long as I'm already 500 calories over, why not make it 5,000 calories over? Seriously, what's the difference, right? Which obviously the difference is pounds and pounds over the course of a week. But I have been so bad. It's like I am intentionally eating too much just because I'm mad at me. I don't know what I'm doing. And mad at me for breaking my diet. That's really what it comes down to. I get mad at myself for not having the self-control. And so to punish myself, oh yeah, you think that's no self-control? I'll show you no self-control, you son. See, that's what I do. I'm a bad dude. So it's been a rough week for the diet is what I'm trying to say. But other than that, I've been in a great mood. And I'll explain that. Let's see. right here. Oh, wait, hold on. See, I told you I'm going to have to type stuff. You guys just have to be patient with me. What should I do while I'm typing? Should I, updates. There we go. That's all I had to type. All right, we're good. First up on my little, pocket mod is death. I told you death was still on the list. Yeah, we're skipping that one. We're not going to get to death. Next, performance evaluation. What is that? This would be, oh, I know what this will be. This will be now for something completely different.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, I'm a little concerned about my levels here. I mean, thank you, John Cleese, and all that, but my silence, not silence, but my silence here is this huge, fat bar of static. What? I don't know what's going on. God, this may be unusable. I hope not, but hold on. I'm going to adjust some levels here. Let's see. Oh, wait. I think I just fixed it. I shifted the cord and suddenly everything fixed. So, all right. If there was static in that first 2-3 minutes there, you know, I'm not going to take, you know, I'm not going to clip anything out of the podcast. You guys just have to suffer through it. I'll clean it up as best I can though. All right. So anyway, performance evaluation. And then there's a little link to it where I drew an arrow down. And then, from performance evaluation, it also says, be happy, damn it. So here's the deal. I had my performance evaluation last week and I knew it was coming. Because the way our process works is we fill out our own self-evaluation first, and then we submit that, and then our supervisor, and then possibly the supervisor above them, blah, blah, blah. They review it, add their own ratings next to yours, and then we sit down and we have a little meeting and we all go over it. Not that it makes any difference, because there has not been merit-based raises in our department in, I don't know, forever. But it's all there, and hold on, I wonder who it is. Oh man, this is going to be disjointed today. First off, I'm glad he did call because that was my son Jacob and he is awesome. And he reminded me of a couple things that I don't have on my pocket mod and I need to write down right this moment. First off, he mentioned that there is going to be a Simpsons Futurama crossover this weekend, Sunday? Seriously? I had no clue. I don't watch commercial television anymore. I don't know these things. I didn't see any of the ads. So apparently Sunday night, November 9th, which maybe I will have released this episode by then and maybe I won't. So this may not do you any good, but apparently it's going to be there. But then I also need to add on to my master list, Hero Battle. Okay. We're covered. I can't believe I didn't write that down before. Anyway, back to where we were. I knew that my evaluation was coming and it's just one of those things that, you know, because my boss had been down here for some event. In fact, my 20-year service award, and she'd been down here for that. She's like, "Well, as long as I'm in town, do you want to go ahead and do your evaluation anyway?" And it's like, "Well, we had other people there, and we were all hanging out." I was like, "Nah, we'll save it for another time." So we did it last week, and I like myself a lot. You guys might have noticed that, and I think other people like me as well because I'm just that egotistical. But, you know, it's still an evaluation. It's still my boss critiquing me, and therefore I'm a little leery about it because, you know, well, what if someone has something bad to say about me? Then I don't know how to deal with that. And so I was dreading it. And then it turns out that the evaluation was glowing. It was wonderful. And I'm not doing this to toot my own horn, although if I can toot it for just a second, every self-evaluation, every rating I gave myself in these various areas, she bumped up. Well, she didn't bump all of them up. Some of them she just agreed with me, but others she bumped up. She never gave me anything lower than what I had already put down on my own self-eval. So therefore, it was all really glowing and really positive, and I wound up being just ecstatic. I just happier than I'd been in a while because it was I knew it was coming, and even though I didn't think it was going to be bad, there's still a little pressure, and you kind of let it drag you down a bit. And afterwards, and this is where the be happy damn it comes in, I realized, oh God, that's right. This is one of those times where I have to remind myself, be happy. Just be happy. And again, it doesn't work for everybody. Obviously, if you're clinically depressed, I can't just tell you to be happy. But in general, I've given you this theory before. Your body often interprets your mood based on how you are physically reacting to stuff. Quite often your body will physically react to something, just instinctively physically react to something. And then your body, your mind takes that information in and says, I'm feeling a physical reaction. What emotion should I tag onto this? And then uses context clues to figure out what emotion that would be then. Because, excitement and anxiety and fear can often have very similar physical reactions, that your body does very similar things. And so based on context, your mind then decides that, oh, I must be really excited, as opposed to, oh, I guess I'm really scared. They're all very similar. And so therefore, if you're choosing to be happy, if you have the ability to do this, like the ability to just, hey, remind yourself to smile. All right. One, if you smile at other people all the time, you get better reactions from them because, assuming you don't have a really creepy smile, but I'll let you be the judge of that. But if you're smiling at people, it makes them happier and they react to you in a better way and things, you just get a better response out of people. But also secondly, a lot of times if your body does something weird, if you're having one of these instinctive emotional reactions, your body, your mind then has to take the cues from your body and go, okay, what am I feeling and why? And if your mind detects that you're smiling, you can fool yourself. Your mind will go, oh, must be happy. And it seems like a trick, but, no, it's scientifically shown that if you choose to smile more often, people genuinely will rate themselves as happier people. That it's not just, I mean, yes, we all know, you know, the beauty pageant contestant, this stereotypical, you know, server in a restaurant, whatever, someone who has that fake smile plastered on because their job requires them to have a fake smile plastered on. But it also turns out that there's some scientific basis that says by putting on that smile, and I make an effort when I smile that I try and make my smile as genuine as possible. I try and get the extra lift to the eyes and the full reaction that my body would really do if I was smiling for reasons other than just, hey, I should be smiling. And then your mind will interpret that as you being happy. It did just, hey, hi dogs. That was Pippin. I may have to take a break to go take the dogs out. I'm telling you, this is going to be disjointed. So anyway, my performance evaluation at work was wonderful and glowing. It made me very, very happy. And it reminded me that, oh yeah, that's right. I have to choose to be happy sometimes. I have to choose, just put on that smile. And it works. I mean, does it sound fake to you guys? I shouldn't be seeking your approval. You guys can't respond to me here, but, I mean, you can on the boards, obviously. Anyway, I'm going to have to go take the damn dogs out. Hold on while I pause this. This is ridiculous. Done and done. I'm so sorry this is getting crazy. This is one of those episodes where I can't tell if this is just going to be a mess by the time I get through or if it's going to be such a mess that it actually turns out, shut up in there. I don't even know what they're excited about. Or if it's going to be one of those messes that winds up being really, really charming. I don't know. So we'll find out. So hold on, text message. Yeah, my son is at 90% of his data plan on his phone for the month. Yeah, he needs to stop that. Yeah, he stops when he gets to 90. That's how he knows when he's done for the month. So anyway, enough of that one. Let's go back to the if you even remember what topic we were on. I barely do. Let's go back to the next. What is next on my list? Oh. Okay, that one's for later in the show, so let me go write that one down. And then the next thing I have listed is actually going to be a science corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
Yeah, and that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Yeah, my son Jacob called me a few days ago and said, you have to look at this. You have to go online and look up the X-Stat syringe. Okay, I'll do that. The X-Stat syringe is it looks like, I mean, it's the size of a typical kind of test tube that you would think of in science class from high school. And except it's an actual syringe. It's got a little plunger thing at the end. And the syringe is filled with little teeny tiny compressed sponges that have all been these little pill-sized sponges that actually expand to be much larger once they're released. And the way the sucker is used is in the field, if you get shot, so this is a wartime tool, if you get shot, whoever is treating you, or you can do it yourself. Literally, you jam the end of this syringe, the entire darn thing goes into the bullet hole. You just jam the whole thing into the bullet wound, and then you wind up pressing down the plunger, and you inject all of these little tiny sponges inside your bullet wound. And the sponges are, not only are they highly compressed, but they're also soaked in an coagulant. That's the word I'm looking for. Something that causes blood to clot. And they are coated in a coagulant formula, and you just inject all of these sponges directly into the wound. They immediately start soaking up blood and expanding like crazy. And thus, they will fill up the wound, and the pressure of them expanding will stop the bleeding almost immediately. And it is apparently surprisingly effective, and it's like $100. So for $100, you treat a bullet wound, and you literally stop the bleeding immediately, and you can get up and function. And, I mean, of course, you still have a bullet in your body, and it's still going to hurt. And eventually, you're going to have to get back to real medical care, where they're going to have to carefully pick out those sponges one at a time with tweezers or forceps or whatever it is they use. So it's not comfortable, but it saves lives. And, or at least they project that it will, because they haven't put it into practice yet. Apparently they've only tested it on pigs, which the article I read, which had really cool diagrams, was talking about it as in it's been tested on wounded pigs, as if these pigs came in seeking assistance for their gunshot wounds. And we happen to have these X-Stat syringes laying around to test them on. And so we go ahead and help these poor pigs out. The pigs, it was tested on wounded pigs, which leaves out the fact that no. What you mean is someone went out there and shot a pig. We had a pig brought into our lab, and we literally shot them and then patched them back up. And apparently it works really well on the pigs. So I don't know where you stand on animal rights. I'm okay with some animal experimentation. I understand the need for it. I understand the benefits we gain from it, and I'm cool with it. I don't know if I'm cool with shooting a pig just so we can try and patch up his wounds. I have no idea. But I'm not here to make a moral judgment. I'm just here to say, wow, these things are cool. So that's interesting. If you want to say, go do a Google search for X-Stat syringe and just look at the diagrams. It's nifty. All right, but more from my pocket mod. Next on the list, Roku! I wish I'd seen more episodes of this. I've only watched two episodes so far, but my son and I were watching De Grey Man, which is an anime he was interested in, which I didn't really enjoy all that much. I mean, it was interesting, but it was just, it was more his thing and not mine, and I wound up being kind of glad when we went to go watch it the other night, and we were going to pull up another episode, and he went, oh no, they've taken it off, and so now Netflix doesn't care anymore, and I was kind of relieved. I'm like, all right, good. It wasn't my favorite. Instead, he was flipping through possible animes, because he wants to watch an anime, and he pulled up something called The Devil is a Part-Timer. And he said, oh, I've heard good things about this, which, okay. So we watched. And first episode, straight out of the gate, I love this show. It is really cute and really entertaining, and I don't know where they're going to go over the course of 12 or 13 episodes. For all I know, it's just a one-joke thing, and it's going to fall apart. Who knows? But at least we've seen the first two episodes so far, and it's adorable. It's adorable. Show opens up, and I'm not giving anything away, because this is the first 10 minutes of the first episode. Opens up on this huge, fantastical fantasy setting, all right, with swords and sorcery and demons and grand heroes and all this amazing magical over-the-top anime D&D style stuff. Awesome. All right. And they give us the background of the geography of these islands and the locations of the armies and the demon invasion and the heroes that are fighting them off and all of this amazing stuff going on. And then in the grand battle between the devil himself and whoever the human's big hero is, the devil winds up being cast into a portal and he's whisked away. And then we go through the credits, and when the devil wakes up, him and his chief assistant find themselves on Earth in Tokyo, Japan. And it is just hysterical. It's really funny because they wake up and they no longer, he's still the devil, but he doesn't have the horns anymore. He doesn't have the accoutrements. He just looks like, some 19-year-old kid. And here he is on Earth and has no idea what to do. And oh my God, our magic's gone. Where did our magic go? We're so low on, they have a little magic, but not much. And so we go through this whole trial and error business where, they get accosted by the police, and the police are really just worried about him because they look like a couple of lost, drunk, possibly high kids. They have no idea what's going on, but they just want to make sure the kids are safe. And so they're accosted by police, but they only speak Latin at this point. They have to learn English later. Ultimately, the devil winds up passing out. When he wakes up in the hospital, he turns to his friend and says, "Wait a minute. Who ever told me that this body needs food? This is ridiculous. How demeaning. How horrifying." And so in order to, obviously we don't have enough magic, he uses some of their remaining magic to get themselves fake IDs so that they can get jobs. Because ultimately, look, the grand plan is to start conquering areas of Earth, and then once we figure out a way to get our magic back, then we can figure out a way to transition back to our own world where we can resume our conquest and become kings again. But in the meantime, our first step is I need to get a job, and he winds up working at McDonald's or whatever their obvious ripoff of McDonald's is for this show. So he gets a job at McDonald's, and at one point he says something, and I don't remember the exact line, but it's something along the lines of, "Yes, my great customer service is just the first step on my way to total world domination." It's beautiful. He winds up actually being kind of a sweet guy, and I think ultimately this thing is going to be a romance of some sort. But it's just cute. It's just really cute because it is a really stereotypical Japanese anime kind of slice of life sort of thing. Oh, except he happens to be Satan. Other than that, I mean, he's just a normal kid trying to get by, trying to make friends, trying to do, and he's Satan. So, it's cute. If you've got time and you've got Netflix streaming, then check out The Devil as a Part-Timer. At least the first two episodes. If they start to suck, I'll warn you, on a future episode. But, so far, liking it. Very, very cool. Back to my pocket mod. My master list. Oh, what's next? Xstat syringe, Devil's a Part-Timer. All right. Deadpool. I mentioned the Deadpool last time. Oh, this is, my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. Role-playing games, video games, card games. If it's on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. Thank God I'm not picking anything with really complicated lead-ins because I don't have any of those memorized. But I told you about the Deadpool last week. The Deadpool 2015, Nerd Pride Deadpool 2015, the thread is up. It is in the Nerds Playing Games forum on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Go, if you're not already on the website, go sign up. And go take a look at the Deadpool and be prepared. Get yourself in eventually. All the rules are there. We're not taking any information from anybody until Christmas Eve. So, if you want to submit sooner than that, you certainly can. But feel free to participate. It is an awesome game. It's a fun time. I highly encourage you to participate in the Deadpool. But also, as long as we're on the topic of games, and specifically on the topic of forum games, we're starting a new hero battle. Yeah, because, darn it. I forgot to put out a tweet. Ron asked if I'd go to Twitter and make an announcement on Twitter when I'm recording so that people will know to come and do the forum thing. Anyway, doesn't make any difference. And I forgot. And, Ron's going to chew me out. That's sad. But, I could go fix it now, but really, I'm not gonna. I'm already 25 minutes in. We'll be fine. We'll live without Twitter this time. But anyway, Ron has listened far enough back in the episodes that he found where I discussed Hero Battle a previous time, and he came on the boards and opened up one of the old Hero Battle threads and said, "Hey, how come there's no more Hero Battle? What?" And so, therefore, we reopened the last Hero Battle thread. We play Hero Battle all the time, or used to, and then we kind of abandoned it because the last game we played, people had gotten tired of it. We only had 7 players, and so we finally decided, we'll just let it go. And I just put them away. Well, now we've got some interest, so we're going to open it back up. Hero Battle is a very simple forum game where everyone gets assigned a hero or whatever this particular battle is. So we've had Hero Battle where they get assigned a superhero name. We've had Celebrity Battle. You get assigned a celebrity name. This time it's going to be One Hit Wonder Battle. So everyone gets assigned a band that only had one hit ever. But whatever you are, you have your assigned, in this case, band. Let's just go with band so I don't have to keep doing the either-or explanation every time. And so you'll get assigned, if you play in this game, you'll get assigned to a one-hit wonder band. For example, Falco or Dexy's Midnight Runners or A-ha or there's all sorts of them. And you'll get assigned to a band. And you don't tell anybody who your band is. That's part of it. You keep that secret. Now, every single day, once a day, once every 24 hours, I put up a post on the forums that lists, okay, here's all the bands in competition, and here's their total hit points, which will start off with like 8 hit points or whatever it is. And then everybody who's playing gets to post up underneath that, and they get to post up 2 hits and a heal. It's always hit, hit, heal. And in fact, some forums, this is not original to me. I've stolen this from other places. We gave it the name Hero Battle because we initially played it with superheroes. But I've seen it on other forums where it's called hit, hit, heal, or it has other names. Anyway, you come in every day, and each person gets to do 2 hits on 2 different heroes or 2 different bands, and they do 1 heal. And so then after everyone has posted, or at the 24-hour mark, whatever, whenever I decide to post up the new one, I go through, and for every hit that a character takes, they lose 1 hit point. For every heal they get, they gain 1 hit point. Excellent. So every round, 2 hits and a heal from every person, meaning if our average was 8 the first round, then our average is 7 the second round. And some will be higher and some will be lower. We had one game where we had, when we did Celebrity Battle, Tom Cruise was in there. Tom Cruise died first round. Everybody in the game hit Tom Cruise all at once, died instantly. All right. Now, last one left after all the hits and heals. We play this every single day until finally everybody's gone. Whoever's the last person left is our winner. That's it. All right. Now, there's some other stuff in there that there's a complication that if people guess your secret identity, if people guess which hero you have or which band you have, I was just going to call them bands. If people can guess which character you have been assigned, then you take an extra hit. It's like you lose 2 hit points or whatever for being called out. And whoever correctly calls you out gains a bonus for doing the correct call out. There's other special rules in there for special events that can happen. There's each person has a specific nemesis or 2 nemeses, I think. And if one of your nemeses dies, then you get a bonus for having killed them. There's all sorts of stuff that makes it a little more interesting, but is an incredibly subtle sort of game because everything's completely deterministic. Everything, there's some special events, but anyway, for the most part, there's no random chance to this. I mean, who lives and who dies is based on who everybody hits and who everybody heals. That's really all there is to it. But because each single player, I mean, if we've had, 8 players, we've had 18 players, because each player only has a tiny bit of that control. I mean, each player only has 10% of the control or 7% of the control. Yeah, it's all deterministic, but it's really interesting to watch the trends and watch how things go up and down. It's fascinating. Anyway, we enjoy it, and we will play, if everyone's really excited about it, we usually wind up playing like 4 or 5 games in a row, and then we take a long break, and then we'll come back to it later. So right now, we're starting up again. If you want to get in on it, all you need to do is go to nerdbrideradio.com/forums. You go to nerds. No, it's actually got its own section. It's Hero Battle Plus, I think is the name of it, or Nerd Battle Plus is the name of the forum. Go in there and look for the One Hit Wonder Battle thread. It's right at the top, sticky. Go in there, put in your name, and give us the name of a One Hit Wonder and that we put into the pool to randomly assign to people. Put in the name of a One Hit Wonder, boom, you're in the game, ready to go. I'm going to leave it open for probably about a week, so give this episode time to air, give people a chance to listen to it, and then we'll see how many people we get. I'm hoping, I'm hoping that a dozen is a good round number, but boy, the more the merrier. the times that we've had, you know, 16, 17, 18 people in at a time, fantastic. It's a lot more work to compile it, but really, really fun. So anyway, get in. All right. Last thing on my gaming table. I have to, because we played again last night. We played Pathfinder last night, and it's spectacular. I'm having so much fun. And do I have anything particular to say about last night's game? Yeah, I do. I do. All right, remember, I told you we're in the haunted house. I told you that the Dungeon Master is getting us all really worked up and really paranoid, and we're all freaking out, and we finally had our first combat. This is our third session in this house. Second session in, third session in. And we wind up finally having our first combat, and it's against some rats. That was it. And other than that, we've just been freaking ourselves out with everything else going on. It has been crazy. It had got to the point where we're in the kitchen, and my character spots some really expensive, fancy-looking silver, like a silver serving set, and also some very expensive-looking crystal decanters. And I go over there and I start making commentary on them, and I'm picking them up going, wow, this is really, guys, this is worth some money. We should probably think about taking these. And then it occurred to me, wait a minute. This house is a shithole. We've got rats and we've got junk and we've got mold upstairs and things peeling off the walls. And here I'm finding something shiny. Come on, this has got to be another. I panicked. I absolutely panicked that, oh God, I picked up the silver. I picked it up and polished it. I'm looking. Oh my God. I'm putting stuff down. Go, wait, is it real? Does anyone else see this? I freaked out really badly. I don't know if it came across in what I was typing up, but oh my God, it freaked me out. And then, of course, as I'm doing that, the game master's like, yeah, no, it's there. You can see that she's holding a spoon. Okay. All right, no, it's real. It's real. And he's like, what? I don't understand why you guys are so paranoid. He's laughing his ass off behind the scenes. Oh, God, it killed me. It was horrifying. Which is, like me, again, best kind of game. Best kind of game. Having so much fun. And it's little things. Again, I told you last time that my character thinks she has mold all over her arms, that she's infected with something. And so at one point I finally take off the magic gloves and I'm looking at the mold on my arms and I'm starting to, can you hear the train? Do you like the train? Oh God, this is what you get for living across the street from the tracks. Yeah, you know, maybe we should just wait this sucker out. What do you think? That's enough of a pause. He's probably going to blow that whistle again, but we'll bear with it. So anyway, I'm freaking out about the stuff on my arms. I took the gloves off because we saw mold and it reminded me that my arms were infected. So I get the gloves off and I'm looking at the mold and I'm starting to panic about it. And obviously everyone in the room is questioning, does she really have mold on her arms? Really? And so the game master then puts out a post to everybody that says, she's fine. Don't worry about it. And then immediately sends me a private message behind the scenes that says, no, you're not fine. I'm like, I know I'm not fine. Shut up. It freaked me out bad. It had exactly the desired effect. Exactly what he wanted to happen happened. I freaked out. And it's great. Having a good time. And again, I know as a player, I know that there's nothing wrong. I'm pretty sure there's not. And that's the worst part, is that at this point, I'm actually starting to have some doubts because no one else can see it. Everybody else had all of these nightmare visions and it turned out to not be real. It was all just illusions. It was all in their head and everybody finally got over it and it was no big deal. And so I am 99% positive that mine is exactly the same way, but I have enough of a creeping doubt in the back of my head that's like, yeah, but what if this is the real sign? We've seen mold, real mold somewhere else in the house. It's obviously magical and permanent. And what if that's what's happening to me? What if I'm the next one? It's driving me crazy. And again, and intellectually as a player, I'm pretty sure that it's not real. I'm pretty sure it's just an illusion. And because of my wisdom of 5, I just can't see through that illusion. I'm just not going to be able to break the spell. I get that. But my character doesn't know any of that, and she's freaking out even worse than I am. I mean, you think I'm a basket case? She is just nutty on this one. So, having a great time, and we're leveled up. I get to be level 5. So excited. I told you last week how excited I am about leveling up. Yeah, well, it's happening now. So I'm leveling up. And now, as I'm leveling up and all this great stuff, and I'm like, wait, you mean that moves to +2 now? I get another second level spell? I really? This is awesome. And now all I can do is look and go, oh, but if I was 6th level, look at what I have there. Oh, why can't I be 6th level now? So anyway, Pathfinder's going great. I love playing Pathfinder. That's really all I got to say. Let's see. What's up next? Oh, I actually get, I have a reason to bring up my Nerd Pride turntable.
Jamboree handouts, 2 turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands, or just clap your hands.
What's the tag for this one? Just a wannabe music nerd talking about music? Is that what I say here? All right, cool. Sphere Ensemble. Sphere Ensemble. All right. That is the name of a band that my friend Dave is in. He is a cellist, and he's in a band called Sphere Ensemble, and I think it's like 13 or 14 of them, and it's all strings, and they're spectacular. If you look up Sphere Ensemble on YouTube, watch them play the Muppet Show theme. Watch them play Hallelujah. Watch them play Butterfly Jig. Oh, look up Butterfly Jig. Makes me happy every time. Great stuff. I love stringed instruments anyway. All right. I love classical stringed instruments, the violin, the cello, the viola. I just love the sound of them. Although I also like just an ordinary country fiddle, a bluegrass banjo fiddle combo. I like strings a lot. And, anyway, Sphere Ensemble plays a lot of different stuff. And they have really unique arrangements, and they're just really fun, and I really like them. And the reason I bring it to you is not just to share this awesome music with you, which you should go check out. Just go listen to them, even if you're not going to pitch in on the next part. Just go listen to them just for fun. But if you're of a mind, if you've got a couple extra dollars laying around, and if you want to see this music put onto a real album, a real professional recording, then go to their Kickstarter for Sphere Ensemble. You can either go to Kickstarter and search for Sphere Ensemble, or go to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Go to the Nerd Love section. It's one of the last forums on there. Go to Nerd Love and look for Sphere Ensemble, and he's got a link to the Kickstarter in there too. And I put in at the $30 level. But for $30, I'm going to get the digital recordings that I can plop into my iTunes. And I'm also going to get the actual physical CD mailed to me. And I'm really super happy about that. And again, Dave's a great guy, and his band is awesome and makes good music. And you guys really need to participate. Everyone who's already on the forums, there's plenty of you who already know Dave for years now. Plenty of others who, even if you're new to the forums, plenty of others who saw the posts there and kicked in and helped out. And I appreciate all of that. I love that you guys can support me and support my friends. That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And for those of you who just listen and aren't members of the forums, I don't blame you. You really should come over and join us though, because we're awesome and fun. But for the rest of you, if you're interested in good music, go listen to Sphere Ensemble. If you like what you hear, go to the Kickstarter and kick in a few bucks. You will not be sorry that you did it. Really. So, there you go. That is my music segment. Let's see. What else is on my master list? The Pope and the Big Bang Theory. I'm going to skip that one for now. And then, I don't even know what that says. It looks like it says but I covered I don't know what I wrote there. Weird. And then Hero Battle. I guess we're done. That would be the end of the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, which means it's only time for the Pod-O-Matic! Oh, god darn it. My kid's turned. I'm sorry, R2, you poor guy. Let's get it right there. All right, ready? Pod-O-Matic! Oh, wait. I changed it up. Hold on. Sweet, sassy, molassy. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and this fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. And I will add it to the Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Oh, spectacular. And this is Sweet Sassy Molassy. I don't even know why it came up in conversation, but I love Sweet Sassy Molassy. I'm going to add it to my rotation of hot dog and holy blueberry that I can do at the beginning of the Pod-O-Matic. So anyway, number 73, I didn't have anything organized off of my master list, but I do have the Pod-O-Matic cleaned up and ready to roll. So, number 73 is from Zimney. Zimney says, what do you think of garden gnomes? Oh, well, that's a great question, Zim. I actually love garden gnomes. I don't have any garden gnomes, and if I did have garden gnomes, I wouldn't actually put them outside in my yard, I don't think. Because while I think they're adorable, I think, and there's really cute garden gnome concepts out there. I mean, you know, you can get the Elvis garden gnome and you can get the zombie garden gnome. And, my sister-in-law collects garden gnomes, and my wife had one that she was going to buy for her. I wish I could remember what the theme was on that. Darn it. I'm going to have to look at it. But there was, recently I posted up a link to Garden Gnome Chomsky, which I thought was hysterical because I was coming up with rank titles for the forums, and as I'm putting the other random strings of words, I suddenly thought of Noam Chomsky, and then I thought, oh, Garden Noam Chomsky, that would be really funny. And then the minute I came up with the idea, I'm like, I cannot be the first person who's put that together, obviously. So I did a Google search for Garden Noam Chomsky, and sure enough, they make garden gnomes that look like Noam Chomsky. So, hey, who knew? So anyway, yeah, I like garden gnomes. I, again, wouldn't put them outside, but I think they're adorable. I like them. They're fun. They're just something cool about a garden gnome, and I don't know why. I mean, I don't care for the traditional ones as much. I mean, that doesn't mean anything to me at all, really, but the ones that are, just a clever, I don't know, a garden gnome cover, as it were, when you do a little mashup of garden gnomes and something else or some clever new take on it or twist on it, I think they're cute. For what it's worth. Number 95. 95 is from, it's from Ronster. Hey, Ron, sorry about not tweeting. Ronster says, on a road trip, do you use two-lane highway or interstate if they will both get you to the same destination? Interstate. And here's why. I don't buy into that whole Pixar's Cars, old Route 66, lost American culture, blah, 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 blah. Scenery and culture is going to be what you make of it. I get that there's a certain charm to it. And if I wanted to do a driving tour of an area, I would do that. I've chosen to take back roads to get places on occasion because the purpose of our trip was, hey, let's just see what we find. That was our purpose. But if my purpose is, look, I really need to get to Wyoming because I'm going to go see Yellowstone, then I want to get there and spend my time at Yellowstone. That's kind of my point. I suppose I could also work in the time for other stuff, but here's the other part, and this is really, really crucial. The interstate is safer. That's just a fact. The interstate is safer, and I am much more comfortable driving on an interstate than I am on some two-lane highway or, worse yet, some back road, country road. Which I can do all of those things, but I like safety. And go back and listen to, I think it's episode 4. You go listen to episode 4, and I want you to listen carefully to my trip through the mountains where we took a look at the map and really two-lane highway was the only way to get from point A to point B. And looking at a map and trying to choose which two-lane highway we wanted to take, here's one that looked like it was a straight shot to where we wanted to go, and here's one that looked like, well, that kind of goes way around a little bit. And this was back before Google Maps was as good as it is now about giving you the exact road conditions and the number of minutes it's really going to take on that road. And so we took what looked like the shorter route on the map. Well, it turns out it looks like it's the shorter route because it cuts through the mountains. And what you're not seeing on that map from, you know, the eagle eye view is that that mountain road has a lot of switchbacks and that it rises all the way up to 10,000 feet and that it, you know, it is a long, windy, dangerous road where you're going 15, 20 miles an hour for a lot of it. And we wound up going over two mountain ranges and we wound up doing it in the dark and we crossed the top of a mountain ridge. We drove along the top of a mountain range along this ridge. We drove it at midnight and at midnight, at the top of a friggin' mountain, 2 miles in the sky, we came across a construction crew doing road work at midnight, and they were more surprised to see us than we were to see them. It was creepy and freaky and dangerous, and we, at one point in the middle of the night, drove over a lake, a mountain lake at 6,000 foot elevation. We drove over a mountain lake, had no idea that the thing existed. It was not until we went back and we did the close-ups on Google Maps and we traced our steps bit by bit to go, okay, here's where we went wrong. Oh yeah, this was bad. Yeah, there's all the mountain stuff. And oh my God, there's a lake. We went over a mile-long bridge over a lake in a mountain in the middle of the night and had no idea it was even there. I mean, thinking back, we're like, oh, I kind of remember that where we could see sort of a tunnel-ish thing up ahead. I don't remember. But we had no idea that we were over water for a mile and couldn't tell. It was just creepy. That's, to me, that whole trip. And again, now, for people who want to make the argument for skipping the interstate and taking the, it was exciting. It is a story that I tell to this day because I'm telling it right now. Oh, it was fascinating. We saw all sorts of stuff, but it was hair-raising. It was nerve-wracking. We got in. We expected to be at our hotel at like 11:30. We didn't get in until like 1:30, 2 in the morning. It was late, late. It was bad. We were driving in horrifying conditions, in pitch blackness. It rained on us. It was, oh, man, it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And, yeah, again, great story now, but you know, we had places to be the next day, and we wound up being – you know, we slept in as late as we could until the hotel, you know, checkout time, and we wound up being exhausted the rest of the day. And it was, yeah, I would have preferred that we had gone through the more major highway. There was no interstate for this one, but yeah, I would much rather we had gone through the more main road because then it wouldn't have been as dangerous and we would have gotten there a lot faster. And yeah, I wouldn't have this awesome story to tell, but you know what? I'm kind of okay doing without that, really. 38. Roll them up, kids. There it is. And this one is from DM Darks. Oh, how's my favorite dungeon master? DM Darks says, did you collect action figures? Not really. I mean, I do collect action figures. I didn't as a kid. Star Wars action figures were just really kind of after my time. I mean, which seems weird because I was a kid at the right time. I just never got into them. I never had... we had some, but it wasn't like a collection. It wasn't like we were making a point of it. I mean, there were just some around the house, but, you know, just like there were some Hot Wheels cars and there was, you know, baseball gloves and a baseball. And there was, you know, there were things that were around the house and they were fun to play with once in a while, but we didn't have a lot and I certainly didn't collect them. But then my brothers did. My brothers had lots of Star Wars action figures and then they had lots of G.I. Joe action figures and then they had lots of Transformers and they may even have had some Thundercats. No, He-Man. They had some He-Man. I don't think they had Thundercats. So anyway, it was never been a real collector. I do now because I have a whole set of Star Wars Fisher-Price action figures that I get for Christmas every year from my kids. And I think they may not be able to give me any this year because I think I have them all. But I love the little Fisher-Price with the big feet. So nice wide base makes them easy to stand up, and they're adorable. And so I have a bunch of those. But, you know, I just keep them on top of my monitors at work. They are just there to greet everybody who walks in and let them know I'm a nerd. But he goes on. If the answer is yes, what is the coolest vehicle you had for them? Okay. Well, the answer was no. But I will tell you I was never a big fan of the Millennium Falcon, because I'm thinking all, I mean, yeah, okay, there was the, whatever the Battle Cat was for it, was it He-Man that had the big green Battle Cat, if you can consider that a vehicle. My current collection has a speeder bike, and I think that is the only vehicle that I have is the speeder bike from Star Wars, from Endor. But, let's see, I really, you know what? The vehicle I was most fond of when I was a kid, and I can't remember if my brothers owned this one or if it, now there's so many. We had an AT-AT. We had the full-sized four-legged walker, and he was pretty damn cool. I really, really liked him. But I also, when I was a kid, one of my friends had I'm losing my nerd card. It's going away. What was Luke's hover car at the beginning? Land speeder? Is that what it was? I don't remember. Anyway, one of my friends had one of those. That sleek kind of retro future golden hover jobby. Oh, it was awesome with the open top and everything. Something about that thing fascinated me. It was maybe because it was the first of the vehicles that I had ever seen in person. Loved it. I would still love to own a speeder. It did great things. But probably the best one that we had in our house was my brother's AT-AT. That thing was great. Is that the proper name? Is the AT-AT the proper name? Is it an Imperial Walker? Is it a, what's the proper name for that? I don't know. But anyway, that one was the coolest. 74. 74 is from Ronster again. And Ronster says, pencil, pen, or marker, which is your writing instrument of choice and why? Pens. I like a good ballpoint pen. And that's it. More specifically, I like a really nice retractable ballpoint pen. I have one, the one that I just used to add Hero Battle to my pocket mod, that is, it's a fine point and is a really narrow barrel. It's kind of a small pen because it's a pocket pen. But here's my problem. Because I always carry a pocket mod, I always have to have a pen on me in order to add stuff to the pocket mod. And therefore, it always has to be a retractable pen because I can't put any other pen in my pocket. If it's got a removable cap, I will eat that cap. I will chew the crap out of it until it is worthless and it no longer fits on the pen. I am horrible about that. Nervous habit. So it has to be a retractable pen. And there you go. You like that? Has to be a retractable pen so it can go in my pocket without getting ink all over everything. But I also found that I use it so often that I tend to wind up leaving the pen somewhere. So now I have to carry two retractable pens with me at all times. So there's the little tiny one. Then I also have the bigger one. And the bigger one is a purple. And what is this? This is a Paper Mate profile. Huh. Weird. Didn't know that was the name of it. But this one is almost, it's not a gel pen, but it almost feels like one. It's got a really smooth glide to it. And it happens to be in purple. But I love a good pen. I love a good pen. In fact, now that I have taken to carrying the pocket mod with me all the time, I would love for pocket protectors to come back in fashion. I would love to have a breast pocket on my shirt. Just one. I don't need a pocket on each side. It's just one pocket. And I would love to be able to just carry pens in that pocket all the time, just to have them available. I can't quite do that yet, but I'll build up to it because I just need more shirts, really. Because that's the other thing is that, you know, if only one in four shirts that I wear to work has the breast pocket on it, it's not doing me good because then I'm not used to going for the pocket. I'll wind up searching my pants and then realize, oh, crap, it's not my pants pocket. It's up here. I need to have enough work shirts that have the pocket on them that I can then, all right, but you don't care about that. Why am I even babbling on about pen? I mean, I don't mind a pen, pencil. Pencils have their purposes, especially good mechanical pencils. You always have a nice consistent point to it. It's nice. I like having something that's erasable. I don't mind that at all, but I prefer a pen. Even when I'm doing complex math on paper, I prefer to do it in pen just because that's how I am. And marker, I like having Sharpies around. I love having a good Sharpie available because a Sharpie is always handy. All right. And but to actually write with, no, I can't do a felt tip. I can't do a felt tip pen. I can't do a marker. I can't do not for writing with on a regular basis. But to have a Sharpie around, a good permanent marker, because every once in a while you need to be able to permanently mark something. Always, always good to have. 28. 28 is from... There it is. It's from Kyle. Kyle says, how much fun was your wedding? Am I right? Oh, my wedding was so much fun, dude. We had the best time. I swear, my wife's family, big German Catholic family, and I mean lots of German, lots of Catholic, and they know how to throw a damn wedding. We had such a blast. It was so good. I mean, the wedding itself was a boring Catholic wedding because you have to go to a full mass and it's going to take an hour. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful and lovely. And we got married. And so that was awesome. But, and we've been married 21 years now. So it's been a while ago. But then we went to the wedding reception and it was huge. We had lots of guests and it was a party and there was free booze. And well, I don't remember if it was free booze all night or if it was just for a while, but my dad picked up the bar tab and he was very generous. But when you go to a big German Catholic wedding, I mean, there was polka dancing and you got people out on the floor and everyone was moving and we just had a blast. It was so much fun. I mean, it was just a party to end parties. It was really great. So yeah, dude, it was awesome. I had a fun time. And, my wife only had a couple of drinks at the wedding. I only had a couple of drinks at the wedding and I had them early because I knew that I had to drive after the reception was over. I knew I had to drive us a couple hours to Omaha because we were meeting a plane the next morning, to take us to our honeymoon cruise, blah, blah, blah. So we didn't even drink a lot. But everyone else did. Oh, my goodness. I mean, they were plowed. It was something else. I mean, it was just great. Yes, you are absolutely right, my brother. That was a spectacular night. And the car I drove that night still had rice in the vents on the day I traded it in for a new car. They soaped up the windows and they poured rice into all of our luggage and they made a mess of it. And this was all at my dad's direction. Thanks, Dad. They dumped rice into the vents of the car so that when we started driving and we turned on the vehicle, all the vents were turned on to full blast. So when we started the car, it flung rice in our faces, which sounds hysterical. I will grant you it was really, really funny, but I will tell you that when I sold that car 4 years later, it was still, I would start it up and I'd turn on the air and you could hear it rattling in those vents. And it was not a good thing. And every once in a while, it would still spit out a piece of rice or two at me after 2-3 years. So it had rice in it the day I sold it. I can't believe anyone took that thing. It was crazy. Gave me $1,000 for it too. Totally crazy. So yeah, great, great party. 95 is a number we have already done. I mean, I'm sure of it, but, you know, let's go look just to make sure. I hate to be wrong. I think we did 95 as a repeat last time. Man, it likes those numbers. Come on, R2, go. There we go, 07. Way at the other end of the list, 07 is from a Mr. Ronster. Ron says, what is the fastest you have ever driven? Right around 110, 115. I think. And, I had just gotten the new car that was aforementioned, also the car at my wedding that had the rice dumped in the vents. And, I fully blame my roommate for this. My roommate, was a car guy. He loved vehicles and he said, dude, we gotta go see how fast this can go. I'm like, really? We do? Oh yeah. We gotta go see how fast this can go. Cause previous to this, I had driven that car at maybe 70 to 75 miles an hour. I mean, it was like, I was just testing it out, just wanting to see it. And so I got up to like 70 and I felt like a wild man going 70. And then my roommate went out with me. This was a couple months later. We go out driving in this car. He's like, well, let's see how fast it can really go. And he was driving and he took it up to like 115. Crazy. and then not wanting to be a big sissy. Well, of course, when it's my turn, I took it up to about 110, maybe a little bit more. I didn't go as fast as he did. And I mean, when we were doing this out on the interstate, I am amazed that we didn't get pulled over. I can't, and it scared the crap out of me, but you know, peer pressure. What are you going to do? I made lots of bad decisions when I was a kid. Ultimately, my roommate also wrecked that same vehicle. Did some front end damage. And when I say wrecked, I mean, he tore out the radiator and had to replace it, because he was doing 105, 110 on the interstate, and a cop went to pull him over. So he decided that he was going to take the first exit available and then flee from the cops. That was his plan. Instead he went to go pull over and wound up hitting gravel on the exit ramp, and we wound up plowing through a reflector post, and then boom, straight down into the ditch. And so it destroyed the radiator, and we had some front end damage, obviously. And he wound up paying to get all of that fixed, and it cost him like $600 plus another $600 for the reckless driving ticket. And it was horrifying. And I don't know if he ever learned a lesson from that or not, but it was certainly traumatic for him. So that's how fast I've driven. All right. 09. Here we are right next door. Number 9 from Kyle. Kyle says, Peter Dinklage, the greatest actor under 5 feet tall. Oh, wait, there's a question mark, but it's after the parenthetical. So, Peter Dinklage, greatest actor under 5 feet tall? And then in parentheses, assume this includes Tom Cruise. Okay. Well, yes, obviously. Look, Peter Dinklage is the greatest actor under 5 feet tall. Absolutely. But he's also one of the greatest actors around, regardless of his height. I can't believe you're such a sizist. Seriously, do you have to judge people like that? What is wrong with you? Tom Cruise, on the other hand, phenomenal actor. Tom Cruise is really, really good. Now, Tom Cruise is a good actor, but Tom Cruise also plays Tom Cruise in most of his movies. He's like Will Smith, who Will Smith has shown that he's a versatile dude, and Will Smith can play lots of different roles, and he has some strength to him. But he also, Will Smith, is strongest when he's playing Will Smith. And I did not know this, but when guys like Will Smith or Ryan Reynolds or Tom Cruise or anybody sign on to a movie, they bring their own writers to the table. That, okay, yeah, this is the movie, this is the character you want me to play, that's great. But I also have my own writers who are going to punch up this script just a little bit to make sure that when I do cool stuff, I get lines that are, because Will Smith, in every movie Will Smith does, Will Smith plays the same kind of action hero, and he winds up getting, after something huge and dramatic, Will Smith gets a very classic Will Smith line. That's the kind of stuff that Will Smith says in every movie, because he brings his own writers that ensure that he gets to say the same sort of Will Smith stuff in every movie. It's his trademark. It's what people love about him. And therefore, all of his characters are going to seem pretty damn similar, because he's got the same writers coming along with him for every single project. And Tom Cruise does the same thing. Tom Cruise is absolutely strongest when he's playing Tom Cruise. And he plays the same kind of character in a lot of his movies, but he also does other stuff, and he's also a really strong actor. I mean, Tom Cruise is really good at what he does. Crazy, maybe? Sure. Scientologist, whatever you go on about, all of that stuff doesn't make any difference. He's a really good actor. And in listening to the interview with him on The Nerdist, again, it may be just PR. It may be him putting on a specific face because he is such an actor. But one thing was really obvious from his Nerdist interview is that Tom Cruise is a man who loves movies. Ever since he was a young man, he loves movies of all sorts, and he loves almost every aspect of the production of movies. He loves making movies. He loves being involved with movies. It is his passion. Now, can you argue that maybe he's an over-controlling asshole about it? Can you argue that he is, you know, a crazy religious nut? Can you argue that, whatever. Maybe Tom Cruise is all of those things. I have no idea for sure. I don't know what's, you know, I don't know what's the media running away with stuff. I don't know what's his, you know, publicly projected image that he wants you to believe in. I don't know anything about Tom Cruise because it all comes through this weird filter. But what I do know about him from that conversation is very clearly, and he wasn't faking this, he's a man who loves movies, and I respect that about him because he's passionate about what he does, and you would have to be as successful as he is at it. I mean, he does what he does. So, but Peter Dinklage is an even better actor, and Peter Dinklage is just a crazy good actor. I really like Peter Dinklage. You can watch him in a variety of things. I mean, obviously, look, I love Tyrion Lannister. I love watching Peter Dinklage as Tyrion Lannister. I think he's amazing. But he also does a variety of roles, and he can play a lot of different things. And he's just amazing. I mean, that man dominates a scene if he's in it. He's good. Pardon me. Needed my cough button. He's good at what he does. So, love Peter Dinklage. 31. And 31 is where I'll go right after I pause for a drink. Hold on. Oh, that cough totally got me. Okay, 31 is a number between 1 and 100 that is right here on my list, and it's from Ronster again. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Ronster, pocket protectors, a thing of the past, or is there a future for them in the digital age? Oh, look. Did I not just say how much you know what? We need to make pocket protectors a thing. Or at the very least, I mean, I suppose if I've got the shirt pocket, as long as I've got retractable pens, it's just fine to put a retractable pen in my pocket. I mean, I just one pen, no one's going to question that. If I've got a row of them because I need, you know, then that's a little weird. But I love pocket protectors. I love the idea of them. I don't know. It's so functional and so perfectly designed for what it does. I mean, there's a reason to have a pocket protector. They're awesome. But yes, they're absolutely a thing of the past. Absolutely. That anyone who's wearing them now, and this would be my one real reservation about getting myself a pocket protector is, as much as I might want it because it's functional, I've already committed myself to only carrying retractable pens because I don't want them to leak. So if I'm already committed to carrying retractable pens, I don't really have a need for the pocket protector. I really don't. And therefore, as a self-professed nerd who makes such hay out of the concept that I am a huge nerd and I don't care who knows it, wearing a pocket protector would seem like an intentionally hipstery, douchey kind of statement that, ooh, look at what a nerd I am. And so I probably won't ever really do the pocket protector. I may well carry a pen in my breast pocket, but a retractable one, so I don't need the pocket protector. I'm all right with that. I don't think there's really a future for pocket protectors anymore. I mean, at most, look, that breast pocket, if you're not the pocket mod carrying dork like I am, the breast pocket is also really, really awesome for carrying your cell phone. A great spot where you're not going to miss it on vibrate mode. It's easy to get to and easy to answer. You don't have to dig for it. You don't have to worry about sitting on it. The breast pocket is a spectacular spot for a cell phone. And when you're carrying a cell phone in your breast pocket, you don't need a pocket protector to protect you from a cell phone. All right? So there, that's my take on it. 77. And 77 is... it's from Daz. Hey, Daz. Long time no here. And Daz says, what Marvel movie really needs to be made next, aside from the obvious choice of Puck? Oh, how much would I love a Puck movie? Yeah, seriously. Get me a Puck solo movie. All right. And then a Guardian movie. Was he Guardian back then? Yeah, he was Guardian was the original, and Vindicator was his wife. And then a solo Guardian movie with the full Maple Leaf costume and everything. And then that builds up into an Avengers-style true Alpha Flight movie. Oh, how much would I love that? Alpha Flight would rock socks, dude. And if they didn't play it up too heavy, the flashbacks and the other stuff about Alpha Flight does have the automatic Wolverine tie-in to give us a little bit of familiarity, you draw some people in, but don't make it about Wolverine. That's where you would screw it up, is don't make it about Wolverine. Make it about Alpha Flight. All right. And do, Puck for sure. Puck absolutely for sure. And Guardian for sure. And I wouldn't mind, the original Sasquatch in there. And I wouldn't mind, I mean, this is, go, that would be a great movie. What a good idea. But honestly, I've read your question just a hair too late, Daz, because it doesn't matter what movie needs to be made next, because they've already told us what movies are going to be made next for the next 6 years. And apparently it's going to be Ant-Man and another Avengers. And oh yeah, eventually we'll get to women and black people in 3 or 4 years. Truly, I think Captain Marvel needs to be next. I really think they should have moved Captain Marvel up the list. I think they need to beat DC. They need to beat Wonder Woman to the punch. And they need to have Captain Marvel out now. And they need to give her a treatment that makes America fall in love with Captain Marvel the way they fell in love with Iron Man. I said it last week. I'll say it again. Iron Man was a frickin' nobody. He was a frickin' nobody. Nobody cared about Iron Man until that movie, all right? And suddenly it was everything. Robert Downey Jr. inhabited that role like nobody's business, and then suddenly everybody in the world loves Iron Man. They made a kick-ass movie that pulled all the right strings. Everybody fell for it. We were so impressed, all right? And they need to give Captain Marvel that same treatment. The way Guardians of the Galaxy came out of nowhere, nobody knows who Guardians of the Galaxy are before that movie comes out. And now suddenly, we are all on board 8,000%, all right? Captain Marvel needs that treatment. You bring her out as, and I mean, you make sure she is a strong, independent, not reliant on any man, not beholden to any group, not, she's Captain Marvel. All right. And when I say make her all of these things, I mean make her what she is in the comics. Go the original Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, make it work. All right. And you give us a movie like Iron Man. You give us a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy. You give us a movie that makes us love her and all of America falls for her exactly the way they did for Iron Man. All right. And then suddenly it doesn't matter what DC does with Wonder Woman. It doesn't matter what comes out, because look, Wonder Woman is a product of a earlier age, and she comes off, even in the best versions, she often comes off as really kind of sexist. It's kind of a misogynistic vision. It's kind of a, just the outfit alone. I mean, you know, as much as the 70s TV show was amazing in a lot of ways for its time, it was still, it was heavy on the cheesecake. I mean, it was clear what we were watching for, you know? And they need to make Captain Marvel something that stands out from all the rest of it and elevates her to the status of a true female superhero. They put her out next, get her out first. Then suddenly, you know, before Sony can do whatever their stupid Spider-Man female spinoff is going to be, before Wonder Woman can come out. No, you put out Captain Marvel and you make her the ideal of what a female superhero is. That when people think female superhero, they think Captain Marvel. That's where your winner is. That's where your money is. And you know why? Because the biggest movie going demographic out there is women. And you know what women like? Women like movies with women in them. All right. Did you just look at the demographics? They love to see a story about women. What, that's not a mystery. All right. I know we've got this huge, you know, attractive, spends a lot of money, you know, 18 to 35 young male demographic, blah, 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 blah. But we're not the largest majority of moviegoers. We're not the big demographic. I'm not even in that demographic anymore, but the biggest demographic for movie going is women, and no secret, women like to watch movies about women. That's what sells. Man, they could do this. They could do it. But then, I mean, look, it's already set out. And she's already going to be, what, 2018? Is that when she's coming out? 2019? I don't even know. They're taking their sweet-ass time about it. They could have – I guess I should just be thankful that we're getting a Captain Marvel movie at all, and that they didn't open up with the first solo female superhero movie of the new era is Black Widow. That would have been terrifying. That would have, I mean, again, I don't mind Black Widow. I think Black Widow is fascinating, but when Black Widow is portrayed by Scarlett Johansson, let's all note exactly how she is portrayed everywhere. That honestly, she's really there to be a body, and that's what she's there for. And she's posed in every poster with the, you've seen the cheesecake shots. You know what I'm talking about. Duh. Captain Marvel. That's what should be next. That's what should be next. Done. 45. 45 is going to be our last one. And it is from... Ooh, it's from Mrs. Darks. She gets to cap off our show yet again. Good job, Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks, oh, I remember this one. This is a tough one. What movie would you love to see done by MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000? Naming movies that have already been done is cheating. Well, what if I don't know which movies have already been done? Oh, man. Okay. Here's what I would really like to see Mystery Science Theater 3000 do. There was... Oh, I wish I could remember it, too. Oh, all right. Hold on. Give me just a second. I'm going to look. I think the movie case is sitting over there on the Entertainment Center. Let me go look at it quick. Hold on. Ha! I found it. Okay. We bought at Walmart a DVD entitled Eight Horror Classics. And it's actually a two-DVD set, and there are eight horror movies included in here, and we bought it for like $5. All right? Just one of these really cheesy things. And I bought it because it contains, okay, The Prophecy with Christopher Walken, which is awesome. It includes The Faculty with Jon Stewart, which I love, From Dusk Till Dawn. So there's three, maybe four in here that I recognize and are really good. I mean, they're B-horror, clearly B-horror, if that, but enjoyable for all that. But then to go along with it is also a bunch of really crappy movies that I don't recognize at all, but I'm really more than willing to give a shot to. So one of the cheesy alternates on here that my son and I watched together, it's a movie called Subspecies, or at least it's called Subspecies on here. If you go to IMDb, it's called The Awakening. And Subspecies is 1991, of all things. I really would have placed it earlier than this, but it's a 1991 vampire movie about some college students who are traveling to somewhere deep in Eastern Europe doing research on whatever. Oh, and they run across vampires. And it turns out that the vampires aren't what we're expecting. But wait, there's a subspecies of vampires, a new type of vampire that are more evil and more – and okay. And the thing is bad. It is a horrible, horrible movie. Really, really bad. There's so much bad about it, I can't even tell you. The effects are terrifying. Terrifyingly bad. Let me just – not scary in any way. There was nothing scary about this movie. Not at all. But it also, like any good cheesy B horror movie, there was some good nudity in it. The one girl who stars in this thing, is gal offensive? Shouldn't have done that. This one girl who stars in it, a very classic 1991. I mean, just so did with this really short cropped dark hair. And it's very classic 90s look. Looks like a Leroy Neiman painting. I mean, just looked like she just stepped out of a Leroy Neiman painting. And so for me, look, really short, dark hair, that kind of look straight out of my college days. It's like, I'm looking at her going, oh, that is hot. That is really super hot. My son, who was 15 at the time that we watched it, he's looking at her going, what? Seriously? What? Why does she look like a dude? I don't get that. I'm like, it's not. That's hot. What are you talking about? He goes, really? You guys thought that was hot 20 years ago? Really? Oh, man. And it was just, like I say, horrible, horrible movie. And yet, the two of us together, commenting nonstop throughout it, had a great time watching Subspecies, also known as The Awakening. And we had a blast. I mean, it was just, there was so much fodder in there to work with. This was a movie that truly was so bad it was good. I mean, so bad that with the right audience, you can have fun with it. Not like Plan 9 from Outer Space, which my brother and I both watched because we wanted to do a whole segment on our old podcast about movies that were so bad they were good. And it turned out that Plan 9 from Outer Space was just stupid. I mean, just, it was so bad, it was bad. No, this one had so much potential because, and here's, I think, the difference to my mind, is the people who were making Subspecies very clearly thought they were making a good movie. That's the key. When you're making a shitty, shitty movie, but you think you're making a good movie, when you think you're being revolutionary, because this was very clearly, look, oh, there's vampires in it, but hey, the vampires are really our protectors. They're good guys. But oh no, we have this new type of vampire, this twisted subspecies of vampire. They were trying to create the new evil, the new classic monster. How many people have tried to do that? Create the new classic monster for our age, going in the old mummy, vampire, wolfman, Frankenstein. Those was your kings of the old horror. You had these very standard classic monsters. And so here's somebody who's trying to create the new classic monster. All right. It's something in that same vein. It fits into that pantheon. And yet this is brand new out of my imagination. Look how revolutionary I am. And that's clearly what they thought they were doing. They thought they were making genius. And it failed so miserably, and that's what made it so much fun. So, I think that movie has so much perfection in it, in this Mystery Science Theater aspect, that I think it would be a perfect movie for them to cover. I would love to see them do that. I don't know if they've ever done it. I don't think they have, but, you know, I haven't seen nearly as much of that show as a lot of other people. I've seen a lot, but not – I don't know if I've even seen half of them. So God, that would be a spectacular one to do. That is a great question. All right. I said that was the last one, so I guess there's nothing left, but let's get a recap.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, Weezer's in the Garage, She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner, and Two Turntables and a Microphone by Beck. All these songs are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't include them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball, Melee, Sandbox Hill, two-thirds of a dozen others. All free, all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com. I promise I will actually respond to you. Or you can find me on Twitter, where my handle is @nerdprideradio. Or even check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Please sign up there. Send me a message. We will hang out together. We'll be best friends in the world. We will have fun. All right, back to the forums for my listener disappointment segment. Before every cast, I try to remember to put out a post that says, hey, I'm recording. What do you want to add? I keep waiting for someone to put in their huge anti-government, anti-technology manifesto for me to read off, but we haven't gotten to that yet. But what we do have today is commentary from – oh, wait, hold on. Let me close it out first. Don't want to make that mistake. So, done. And post. Okay, here we go. From Stan, the first one is – oh, damn it. Took me back to the bottom of the list. All right. First one says – Stan is saying, is this real life? Yes, it is. What makes one form of communication more or less real than another? Your belief in it, I suppose. I mean, honestly, when you get down to it, you know, reality is all in your perception, and if you perceive it to be real, then if you believe it to be real, then it is. So I can't really answer that. That's some deep philosophy that I'm not sure of. But he follows up by clarifying this with, will we overcome the Pegacorn menace? No. Racist Pegacorns will be out there being racist all the time, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's a fact of life. The best you can do is ignore them. I mean, honestly, the less attention you give them, yeah, they'll throw a fit at first and they'll raise a stink and they'll say all sorts of racist things about you and your heritage and people around you. But ultimately, they'll go away and find some other target or maybe fade quietly into obscurity. They'll always be around, but if you don't feed them, then you won't get as much trouble. Kyle says, "Hey, give another plug for my book and then explain who your favorite character is. Show your work." My brother's book is The Norn's Quest. Go to Amazon.com and look up The Norn's Quest by Kyle Jones. That book is spectacular. Young adult fiction with a strong female protagonist who is absolutely amazing and is absolutely my favorite character. I mean, this is the whole point. Well, no. I take that back. Munch is my favorite character. Munch, who is so clearly my brother inserting himself into the story as the voice of reason, the consciousness, the voice of the game master whenever he plays Dungeons and Dragons with his kids, and they maybe need a little bit of guidance. That's Munch. Munch is also a raven, or possibly a rook. I don't remember. A giant crow. Munch would be my favorite character in the book. But anyway, go to Amazon.com. The Norn's Quest by Kyle Jones. You know what? Any moment now, there will be a second book, and you can read that one too, and it'll be awesome. So get in now while the getting's good. This way you can say you knew Kyle Jones before he became popular. All right? You want that. Hipster cred. I almost popped in R2 for this. Kyle says, "Have you had the shingles?" Nope. "Dude, I've had 3 different outbreaks in the last 2 months. Shingles suck." Actually, he says shingles suck and then adds suck. Yeah, that's what I hear. Shingles are supposed to be really, really painful. Not something that I'm ever looking forward to, although I've had chickenpox, so therefore I am ripe for shingles. It'll happen someday. Hopefully not seriously and hopefully not soon. So, Aliahad, who is the aforementioned Dave of Sphere Ensemble, Aliahad says, "Thank you, Nerd." He's writing in all caps, by the way, because he's one of those guys. He always does this. You can't trust him. He says, "Thank you, Nerd Prideists. Thank you to the Nerd Pride, as Mrs. Darks would call us, correctly. Thank you, Nerd Prideists. You're all awesome. Big red heart me." You have to shout that because it's in caps. See, he knows what he's doing. This is Dave is thanking us for the wonderful response from Sphere, or for the Kickstarter for Sphere Ensemble. Apparently, at last mention, we are the Nerd Pride group is the third largest group of contributors to his album. So, which, you know, look, there was one dude in there who pledged $1,500 all by themselves. So, all right, you win, whatever. And I say dude as in random person. I don't mean necessarily that it's male. It could have been one of their moms. I have no idea. But either way, thank you guys for pitching in to all of you who have done so already. And if you haven't, Sphere Ensemble, go check it out. And then that's it. And then the next post is from me saying, done. We're done. Say goodnight, R2. Oh, yeah.